are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Every day, except for when I don't have internet access. Moving this week, I didn't have internet for a couple days, got internet hooked up, ready to go, did a couple podcasts, and then something happened and did not have internet access again. And so now we're back online here. I'm able to upload this podcast for your Friday morning listening pleasure. Usually I end the week on Thursday. I'm going to give you a Friday podcast instead. Going to drop a bit of a mock draft here. I'm not going to go through all 32 teams, but I just want to take a look at the top and how things can look for the 49ers maybe and how things might affect them, and trying to figure out where the big moving pieces are, where the pivotal points are early in this draft that could really affect things and make things a little bit more fun. And speaking of mock drafts, actually, I'm happy to announce that I will be co-hosting a Locked On Network mock draft special. It's going to be on the Locked On NFL podcast channel. So download that Locked On NFL show hosted by Matt Williamson. I'm going to co-host with Matt Williamson, and we're going to drop in on all of the hosts in the network making picks for their teams and the draft dudes and Locked On NFL draft and different experts coming in and giving their opinions on the picks as we go through the mock draft. It's going to 5-day long, all week long, the week before the week of the draft. So April 15th to April 19th on the Locked On NFL show, I'll be co-hosting that with Matt Williamson. So that one's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to want to tune in to that. Stanford Pro Day, we're going to get into that today, especially with one prospect who might impact the 49ers. I know a lot of people like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, so we'll talk about how he ran. And the American Alliance of Football, or the Alliance of American Football, I always forget how that goes. The AAF has officially folded over the last couple of days and stopped paying bills, and just an odd situation, so we'll get into that a little bit as well today. And maybe some mailbag questions. I think we'll have time for some of that. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review. You can get Locked On 49ers on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you're in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On 49ers. Follow me on Twitter at PDPeacock. That's the best place to get these mailbag questions in. You can also email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com and LockedOn49ers.com. You can find the podcast there, where to subscribe, and other articles going up. We're going to get some more draft stuff up there in written form at LockedOn49ers.com. Where to begin? The Alliance of American Football, the AAF, folded this week, and it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. There's all kinds of stories of they stopped paying their bills, and players were basically kicked out of hotel rooms and started getting charged for the hotel rooms that the AAF weren't paying for, and players showing up to facilities and their stuff was just outside. It's like, hey, get out of here. so strange. But what I don't understand is, to me, it seemed like the AAF, for what it was, a startup football league with players that didn't have professional football jobs before the AAF existed, I thought it was a pretty successful league. People talked about it. People tweeted about it. People were watching somewhat. So if the success that the AAF had wasn't enough and it folded, I don't know what they were expecting it was going to be. Where were their heads at thinking this thing was going to compete with other sports or compete with the NFL in the offseason or be... I don't know. I don't know what they thought the AAF was going to be, because I thought it was about as successful as it could have been. And if it's still folded, then I don't even understand what they were thinking. And I don't know what the XFL thinks they're going to do differently than they did the first time, differently than all these other leagues that have started up and folded, differently than the AAF, who has now started up and folded. But we'll see if the XFL has some kind of something up their sleeve. You know, they're going to be a lot more unorthodox with the way they do things. So who knows? Maybe the XFL has a chance, but man, these leagues don't work. Even when they have, like, you know, even when the NFL is trying to help them, they can't figure it out. And maybe that's it. It's college football, it's NFL, that's it. But it's funny, the tweet from AAF, effective immediately, all AAF players are authorized to sign with NFL clubs. Oh, you think? Is it cool now that the league doesn't exist? Is it cool that we sign with NFL clubs as if we weren't going to already? If an NFL team calls me and says, hey, I want to sign you later, AAF. Come on, give me a break. So some strange goings on there with whoever's in charge of the AAF. I don't know what's going on there. I guess we'll have to wait for the 30 on that one. Stanford Pro Day. They had a late Pro Day. They wanted everyone to be healthy, particularly J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is the big name for 49ers fans. And, you know, a lot of people are fond of the Stanford program because it's just a local program for the 49ers. And as is usually the case at the Stanford Pro Day, a bunch of 49ers representatives were there. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and Adam Peters and the whole crew was there to watch these guys work out and maybe watch the punter Jake Bailey kick a few balls. I don't know. 49ers might be in the market for a punter. Who knows? But J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, J.J. A.W. as he is known oftentimes on Twitter, had a pretty good workout, or at least ran the 40 pretty well, according to multiple reports. I watched the 40. I'm a little skeptical of some of the numbers thrown out there, especially the one that's thrown out by the school. But the school tweeted out some numbers, 4.49 for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who's 6'2", 220 pounds, which is a great time. Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus said he talked to a scout. I think he was there. He said he talked to a scout that said 4.55 was what he had him timed, which seems a little bit more accurate and something I would have expected him to run, and it's not a huge difference. And anything, you know, 4.5s is fine for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So I think that's more of an accurate representation of what he ran. Obviously, it's not a combine. It's a hand time, so everyone's clock's going to look a little bit different. But mid-4.5s for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a win. And he's a pretty good player. I like him more in the third round than the second round. I'm not going to bump him up from what I saw there. Just running a 40 times, maybe a little bit better. I thought it'd be maybe closer to 4.6. And I'm still skeptical. Maybe it was a 4.6 on some clocks there for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. But a good time, and he's a good player. And if he's there for the 49ers at the top of the third round, if they do skip out on wide receiver until then, I think that's the area where you start thinking serious about J.J. A.W., although some people like him as high as a late first round type of a player. I know a lot of people that have messaged me on the podcast and sent in mailbag questions are all about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They would love to have him on the 49ers at the second pick or the second round pick. Number 36 overall, a little bit rich for me there for him, but I like him, and he's an absolute red zone weapon, and he could do some things between the 20s as well, and he can move a little bit and run some routes and do some things, but that's what really stands out with him is his ability to body up people in the end zone and win those 50-50 balls. Oh, and by the way, I love that when Stanford did tweet out those numbers for Arcega-Whiteside and some other players, they had the player's college major on there, along with the 40 time. I thought that was pretty awesome. That's definitely not something you see from SEC schools or really any other schools, but Stanford throwing that in there. International Studies is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's major, by the way. I thought that was a pretty nice addition to that infographic. All right, let's take a quick break here and then come back and do a little projection, a little mock draft, at least for the first few picks, and see how this thing logically might play out and how it impacts the 49ers and where the pivot points are at the top of the draft. When it comes to pivot points at the top of the NFL draft in 2019, obviously you can't go anywhere until the first pick is made, which is the Arizona Cardinals. So that obviously is big. And that's a huge domino. If a quarterback goes number one versus if a different player goes number one, now it's like, okay, now it's a rush to see where that quarterback goes, who could get into the position to get a quarterback. Are the Cardinals really sold on Kyler Murray? Do they need to get some sort of a level of value for Josh Rosen before they can let that happen? Or would they actually go into the draft having not traded Josh Rosen yet and still draft Kyler Murray? I find that highly doubtful. And so I think what they're doing is they're just trying to wait and see if somebody will give them that offer they want for Josh Rosen. And basically, you know, a week or so before the draft or maybe a few days before the draft, they're going to have to take the best offer they have for Josh Rosen if they're serious about drafting Kyler Murray. And the other thing it looks like, or it sounds like they're trying to do right now, is coax the 49ers into trading up one spot to ensure they have Nick Bosa, because there's some Nick Bosa smoke again coming out of Arizona about the Cardinals possibly taking Bosa at number one, which is what the foregone conclusion was earlier in the offseason, or actually during the regular season. So this whole thing is getting weird, and it always tends to get weird, and it's lying season, so you can't really trust anything you hear either. So you hear, hey, some reporter who's really plugged in says, hey, I'm hearing this. It's like, well, you're getting fed a line, and no GM, no team is actually going to tell you what their plan is unless it really benefits them. And so most people that are plugged in say it's going to be Kyler Murray, but I'm still skeptical, even though it seems that's the way it's going to go. And so if we're doing a mock draft, I think that's what you have to assume is going to happen. Once Rosen actually gets traded, then we will really know that that's what's going to happen. But it sounds like the Cardinals are trying to play all of their cards and see if they could get, I mean, for if you're the Cardinals and you really want to take Kyler Murray, man, that would be a double bonus if you could get the 49ers to give you something, move up, because they're trying to get Nick Bosa and ensure that pick, and then you still take Kyler Murray at number two. So maybe you try to get that done first. But, you know, just some posturing, I think, and probably a Hail Mary attempt by them. And if you're the 49ers, there's no point. The 49ers are sitting in such a great spot right now. Basically, the day that Kyler Murray gave his bonus back to the Oakland A's, that made that number two overall pick so valuable for the 49ers, because they can sit there and try to work a deal. They can try to make a trade if the Cardinals do go for Nick Bosa number one overall, or they can sit back and get the best non-quarterback in the draft, maybe the best prospect in the draft, the safest prospect for sure, I think, in Nick Bosa and number two overall, who fits a big need. And he's just a good player. It's one of those where you don't overthink it. Nick Bosa is the guy for the 49ers. It's not going to be Quinnen Williams if Nick Bosa is on the board. It's not going to be Josh Allen if Nick Bosa is on the board, unless some team really loves one of the other quarterbacks on the draft. And we see something like what happened with 2016, when it was Goff and Wentz back to back, number one and number two, and teams trading up into those two spots. So maybe that could happen as well. And maybe there's some pre-draft trades that happen in the lead up. Maybe it's going to be something on the clock. We'll see what happens. The 49ers are definitely going to get some offers for number two, I'm sure, whether it's for a defensive player or for a quarterback for that a team's trying to move up to get. But I got to believe, if we're doing a mock draft right now with all the information that we currently have and trying to wade through the nonsense, what's real, what's not, it really does sound like the Cardinals are serious about Kyler Murray at number one overall. So who makes that pick? Who makes that trade to get Josh Rosen? I don't know. Maybe it's the New York Giants. They have some extra picks. I think they have the obvious need. I think it's a great fit for them with Eli Manning to let Eli have his farewell year. You have Josh Allen, or you have Josh Rosen in-house, ready to go. Let him hang out for half the year. Maybe plug him in towards the end of the season, or, you know, depending on how quickly that team goes south, and it's going to go south because they're not very good. That makes some sense. And maybe they have to pony up pick number 17. I think that's probably about the best pick that Arizona would get for Josh Rosen at this point. Maybe they only take pick 37, the New York Giants second rounder. Maybe that's all it would take. There's been talk of the Patriots, but I think the Patriots just get thrown out there for everything. At this point, they already went through this with Garoppolo. Why would the Patriots waste a pick on a quarterback when Tom Brady says he's going to play five more years? Don't doubt that. Don't doubt Tom Brady doing that and making that a worthless trade and a worthless first-round pick if the Patriots really did dangle that number 32 overall selection for Josh Rosen. So I don't buy the Patriots stuff there either. So maybe Washington, maybe Denver, I don't know, but Denver just made a trade for a quarterback. But when they did that Flacco move, this thing wasn't happening. Do they like Drew Lock more than they like Josh Rosen? It's crazy. I don't really know what to think about all of this with the Cardinals, but all signs right now are pointing to them being serious about Kyler Murray. So let's take it that way. Kyler Murray goes number one overall. 49ers are in a pretty good spot here. I don't know if a team, because how far up some of these teams are going to have to go to get, say, Dwayne Haskins, are they going to like him enough to come up to number two? Will the 49ers want to move back as far as it would take? It sounds like the New York Giants aren't super interested in moving up, and Dave Gettleman's sort of an old school GM, and he kind of just wants to stay there, it sounds like. They didn't want to give up the number six pick in the Odell trade to do a little pick swap there with the 49ers in number two and number six. So it sounds like the Giants are going to stand pat and just hang out and draft the best players as they come, and maybe those aren't going to be quarterbacks. So Nick Bosa, most likely, if this scenario happens, Nick Bosa is going to be the number two pick. And I've heard some rumblings and some whispers from people that know 49ers folks. It's like, that's their guy. Nick Bosa is the number one guy on the 49ers board, and he should be. That shouldn't be a surprise. So one, Kyler Murray to the Cardinals. Two, Nick Bosa, 49ers. Number three, I think the Jets could definitely move out, and they would be listening to offers. Is it going to be preventative cost-wise for teams to come all the way up to here? Plus, with some pretty good prospects still on the board, blue chipper and Quinnen Williams that could interest the Jets. I really think the Jets and Josh Allen is a nice fit because of what the Jets already tried to do in the offseason. They tried to sign Anthony Barr, and Anthony Barr has been my comparison for Josh Allen as a prospect. So you can't get Anthony Barr, get the next Anthony Barr, and a guy with potential to be better than Anthony Barr because of how he might get used in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker and pass rusher in Josh Allen. So that pick just makes sense to me for number three, even though I'd have Quinnen Williams ahead of him. And then when you're the Raiders are another team like the 49ers that are actually in a really good spot because they can sit back like the 49ers could and say, okay, if no quarterbacks go, then we're going to have the top quarterback sitting here, and the Raiders can continue to do that trade down thing that they've been doing and accumulating more picks for their rebuild. Or maybe Kyler Murray is a guy that the Raiders would like, and maybe they would just take him and maybe play behind Carr for 1 year, then move on from Carr, and they have Kyler Murray. That would be an interesting scenario. I don't think that's very likely. I don't think Kyler Murray would make it to necessarily number four. But at the same time, if you're the Raiders, they need impact rushers, and so they're guaranteed to have Josh Allen or Quinnen Williams in any of these scenarios. So the Raiders are in a good spot. They're fine. They can hang out, see which one of those players fall to them. In this case, it would be Quinnen Williams going number four overall. So those four players in the top four in some order just makes too much sense. Murray, Bosa, then you go Quinnen, Josh Allen, or Josh Allen, then Quinnen. I really don't see the top four going in another direction, although things could get nuts and a team could trade up for a second quarterback or another player. Maybe someone really loves Quinnen Williams or really loves Nick Bosa and makes something insane happen at the top of the draft. But right now, that's how I see it. Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On 49ers on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On 49ers. So here we are at pick number five overall, and this is another pivot point for me. When you get to the Tampa Bay Bucks at number five, I start to see, okay, now it's not as far. It's not as costly because basically from going from five to two, so let's say a team wanted to go all the way up to number two, the difference between two and five is like a first rounder, a mid to late first round pick. So that's how much extra it would cost to go those few spots up. So once you get to pick number five, and now the Buccaneers are sitting in a spot where they obviously don't need a quarterback, or I mean, maybe they will end up eventually, but I think they brought Bruce Arians in to try to fix Jameis Winston, so they're good there. I really think that is a possible trade-out point, especially for teams knowing they want to get up in front of the New York Giants because the Giants would be sitting there and drafting a quarterback because every single mock draft you look at has Dwayne Haskins falling to the Giants because a lot of people don't put trades in their mock drafts. But that would be a point. Number five overall, I could really see a team moving up. And with each pick, it starts to get less and less costly. And especially if you're sitting there at a spot where maybe someone who's not a blue chip prospect falls to you, it starts to get a lot easier to trade out of there because maybe grades start to get very similar between, you know, say pick 5 and 15. So it gets, even going from pick 5 to 2, that's like an extra first round pick just jumping up those three picks. So pick number 5 is the one I think. Team getting in front of the New York Giants who might be going for a quarterback there. And you have to expect that if you do want your quarterback, they're not going to get past 6, and they're not going to get very much further past that anyway. So Washington at 15, Cincinnati at 11, Miami at 13 maybe. I can see any of those teams jumping up, maybe to pick number five starts to get a little bit more cost effective in that trade up, and it doesn't just get really crazy. Because moving from, say, 15 to 2 is just, it's too expensive. And 15 to 5 is expensive enough, but it starts to make a little bit more sense. That's why I think pick number five could be that point. Teams jumping up in front of the New York Giants. The New York Giants themselves have to know this, and they're playing their cards, you know, pretty close to their vest. If they really do love a quarterback, and actually the latest thing I heard is that the Giants aren't really that sold on Dwayne Haskins. Well, that's exactly what you would say if you saw Dwayne Haskins going to the New York Giants in every single mock draft everywhere. And the New York Giants probably themselves know, look, if we do like one of these quarterbacks, we have to be the team that moves up. So maybe the New York Giants is that team that thwarts other people's attempts because they got to go up and get their guy. Maybe I don't know if the two New York teams would do business going up from, that's where things get a little bit problematic. So do the Giants go all the way up to pick number two? It would cost a lot. It would cost number 17. The Giants didn't want to do the OBJ thing and swap 2 and 6. So maybe they don't want to go up that high. Are the two New York teams going to talk to each other and do a deal? Because that would make the most sense, 6-3. But I don't know. Can they do that inter-New York thing? Last year, apparently the Jets didn't even call the Giants in that trade and went up to number three instead of trying to go up to number two. It's very interesting in that little area what could go down. And maybe all the Giants have to do is go up one pick and just secure that spot because the other teams are going to be less likely to move because of the prospects that are on the board for those teams, and they're going to be asking a little bit more. So anyway, I think that's where the madness has to happen in this draft. And I really think if you were betting on five players to go in some order in the top five, I fully believe it's that Murray, Bosa, and in some order in the next three picks, it's got to be Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, and then that second quarterback, most likely Dwayne Haskins, and a team getting up in there to the top five and making that selection. And then chaos basically ensues. And that's what's so fun about the NFL draft. It's always so wild compared to the group think, and everyone thinks they have an idea, but it's 32 teams with 32 different draft boards and things get nuts. And especially after there's a trade up for a quarterback, and that just skews everything out of whack. And so obviously that number one is a pivot point. If Kyler Murray goes number one, it's Bosa number two. Now, if Bosa goes number one, pick two becomes the pivot point, because I know the 49ers would then be even more open for business, and I think they'll still listen to offers even if Bosa is sitting there, even if they might be asking just a little bit more. And then I think pick five. I just think right in front of the New York Giants is an obvious place, and Tampa is an obvious team that could move out there and still get some pretty good value and get a pretty good player later in the draft and then add some picks. And I think the Jets would be open for business, but it's just such a big jump. They might have to take maybe a little bit less than market value if a team's coming all the way up from the teens. But anyway, we're running out of time here. I did want to get to at least one mailbag question here. So if the 49ers go Bosa at number two, are they done in round one? We've seen the 49ers multiple times over the years, and even in this John Lynch era, trade back into the first round to get a player. So this question from EB33 on Twitter, do you think we might trade back into the end of the first round to get our wide receiver? And it's a good question, and I don't want to say it's impossible. I think it's a lot less likely that that's where the trades go down in this draft. That just the way that I envision things going down and how the draft board is and how deep that wide receiver position is, because I think it's pretty obvious that at 36, you stand pat, you sit there, maybe, you know, move up a couple of spots, but no major trade ups there, because I think the obvious thing the 49ers could do is say, okay, look, we could get our wide receiver right here, and we like a guy, and we might even have a first round grade on him, and we can wait and get him here at 36. And there's so many guys that are going to be really close together. And I would imagine the 49ers draft board, those guys are pretty tight. At least there's a few of them, and they know they can get a really good one at 36. But then what they can do is move back up from round three to round two. I think that's the most likely trade scenario. Obviously, it costs you a lot less to move up from three to two than it would be from two to number one. And now that's when you can make sure you dial in that safety prospect that you might. Because to me, I would rather, if I'm the 49ers, make sure I get the wide receiver I want and not be picking from the leftovers at the top of the third round. Like, there might be a really good player that does fall to the third round, but maybe it's not the type of player you actually wanted. I would want to be in control of my destiny there with the wide receiver position. and then wait to see what happens with the safeties, and then that's when you trade back up. Maybe get a Juan Thornhill that starts to leak down towards the end of the second round, but you're not confident he's going to make it to your pick in the third round. Maybe Darnell Savage is another player I really like. Those two guys are the ones that I'm eyeing right now for the 49ers in that day two range. Then that would make a lot of sense to move up into the end of the second round. And then you've got your edge, your wide receiver, and your defensive back, the first three picks in those order. In that order, that's the way I envision it. That's the way I would go in thinking I would attack this draft. But like I said, chaos ensues. There's no telling how this is going to go down, who's going to be around where. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Keep those mailbag questions coming. I'll do a full mailbag episode next week at some point, maybe even Monday. So hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And mark your calendars week of the 15th to the 19th on the Locked On NFL show. I will be co-hosting the Locked On Network NFL Mock Draft Special. All of the hosts involved in the network and analysts are going to be involved in this thing. I'm co-hosting it with Matt Williamson. Thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Talk to you guys next week right here on Locked On 49ers.